Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, and welcome to Adoption Focus. My name is Jennifer Jaworski, and I'm a social worker with Adoption Associates of Michigan. This is Adoption Associates' premier talk radio blog show. Adoption Associates was founded in 1990, and we specialize in both domestic and international adoption. We provide private adoption services throughout all of Michigan, with offices located in Jenison, Lansing, Farmington Hills, and the mid-Michigan Saginaw area. Anywhere in Michigan, you can find a connection to Adoption Associates. Adoption Associates brings knowledge, support, and understanding in adoption. Adoption is not only our specialty, but it is our passion. One of Adoption Associates' commitments is to this radio show to help educate and support adoptive families, birth families, and the adoption community. So we are very grateful to you for listening in to our program today. And today on Adoption Focus, we are talking about a very important topic, and we're evaluating transracial adoption with Kathy Yates. And Kathy is a licensed social worker with 32 years of experience in adoption and child welfare. She has developed, presented, and coordinated training for both adoptive and foster parents and professionals since 1995. Much of Kathy's focus has been in the area of cross-cultural parenting, appreciating diversity, and adoption. Kathy happens to also be an adoptive parent of four children who were adopted cross-culturally, and they are now adults. So, Kathy, I believe you're with us. I want to welcome you to Adoption Focus Podcast today.
Good morning, Jennifer. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for taking time to be with us and to discuss this very important topic of transracial adoption. And so let's just jump right in here, if we can, Kathy. And I'd like you to answer this question. Why does race matter in adoption?
We are, unfortunately, still a racialized country. We still have inequality, prejudice, discrimination, and racism. In fact, unfortunately, we have people dying because of their skin color. So as an adoptive parent, if we are adopting a child of a different race, quote unquote race, or culture than our own, we are not an expert. And therefore, we need other experts. We need to look at people that have experience being from that different culture, because we haven't experienced that. I have a child who was adopted with a cleft lip and palate, and I had to research because I knew nothing about cleft lip and palate. And, you know, I needed to know where I needed to take him, what I needed to do, what surgeries did he need, what other services did he need. That was extremely important in providing the best for my son. No, none of us adopt because we don't care about children. We adopt because we love children and we want to do the best for them. And therefore, race in this country, until we are no longer a racialized country, is going to be extremely important when we're talking about adopting a child of a different quote-unquote race, because race is really an illusion, although racism is real, until we don't have prejudice and discrimination. And unfortunately, I don't see that happening in my lifetime.
So what are the issues that families need to consider, Kathy, when they're making a decision or contemplating adopting a child of a different race than their own?
Well, as I discussed in the first question, it is extremely important to know something about that child's culture. There is nothing going to be stamped on your child's forehead that will say, you know, I was raised by a white family, and the majority of transcultural adoptions are of white families adopting black children, as well as children from other races or cultures. So people are going to treat that child, when he or she is out in the real world, as a typical Vietnamese adult, or a typical black man, or whatever that child's racial or ethnic background is. And they are going to make assumptions about them. And if that child knows nothing about their culture, then they are not going to know how to relate to other people that look just like them. It's very easy for an adult to love a baby of a different background, but we have to also ask ourselves, can we love a man or a woman who is a black man or woman, or can we love a Korean man or a El Salvadoran woman? These are questions that, you know, we need to ask ourselves before we make that decision to adopt. What if the child, as Colin Kaepernick has become very outspoken about being black and what that's like in this country, can we love and accept him or a child like him? Because that could happen with our own child. Or what if the child rejects us? Can we still accept that child as our own? And again, as I mentioned with the first question, we need to do the research, because if we have not grown up as the culture of our child, we know nothing about it, and we need to be able to teach them. We need to be able to help them maneuver in the world, and talking to adult adoptees, that was very important for them, because they oftentimes didn't know, you know, oh, am I going to get the handshake wrong? Am I going to say some of the slang wrong? You know, I really need to know how to do this. And if we aren't one of those people, which we obviously aren't if we're adopting cross-culturally, then we need to provide that for our child in some way. And that's by researching it and also providing the child role models.
Oh, yeah, I mean, obviously you're saying such important things here and a lot of great points, but what is really resonating here, I think, with me right now, Kathy, is this educational piece and of a prospective adoptive parent to gain better understanding and be open and accepting to the fact that if you're adopting a child who is a different color than your own, you don't know those things, and you need to then take it upon yourself to learn.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's just like I cannot be an expert to my child in everything. You know, if I want my child to learn how to play the piano, I'm going to take him, you know, to a piano teacher and so on and so forth. So it's just extremely important. There are so many things we don't know that we need to rely on the experts to provide for our child.
So do we believe then that transracial adoption can be or is harmful to kids?
You know, unfortunately, it has been true for some children. And that's why we need to take, you know, a look at ourselves and say, you know, is this right? It's extremely important. Well, I think we all know that it's extremely important that any child that we raise have a positive self-esteem, have, you know, a good feeling about who they are. And when you're faced with racism every day of your life, you know, that's a tough fight. That's a tough battle to feel like, gee, is there something wrong with me? What did I do wrong? Why? What did I do to deserve this? So it's even more important for people of color to have that self-esteem and to know when and when not to react towards racism or discrimination. Why are there so many white people adopting black children? That's an example of white privilege. And so we need to look at our privilege and realize that we have to educate ourselves, because we walk around with privilege. I can walk into the store and usually not have to worry about people following me, wondering if I'm going to steal something. But my children did not have the same experience. And so I think we also need to look at adult adoptees who are educating us. And I would like to mention, too, that I have found very helpful. One is Jaya John. He's a transracial adoptee. He wrote a book, Black Baby, White Hands, excellent book. Hope you can advertise that on your web page and Facebook page. Also, Rhonda Rhoda, who happens to be a good friend of mine, also transracial adoptee, she has written a number of series. One she started with was In Their Own Voices, Transracial Adoptees Tell Their Stories. And the most recent one, In Their Voices, Black Americans on Transracial Adoption, where she examined how do Black people feel about this? Because some are disapproving of it for some of these reasons, and that's why it is so extremely important that we are educating ourselves for the love of that child and for the best interest of that child.
Right. Most definitely. And, you know, Kathy, we have a lot of really wonderful prospective adoptive parents. And you mentioned earlier when you were talking, too, about, you know, parents wanting to raise a child and love a child. And that really is the motivation in their desire to adopt. But we do sometimes see very wonderful and well-meaning parents who say, you know, but love is enough, and love supersedes all of these issues, and you're just making a whole bunch to do out of nothing. How do you respond to that? What is your feeling about this concept that love is enough?
You know, it would be wonderful if love was enough. But I think if you really truly believe that love is enough, and then your child develops problems, who do you blame? Do you blame yourself? Or do you blame the child? Because you've really only made it about you and the child. Rather than say, you know what, I am going to love this child, but that doesn't mean it's going to be enough. I still go back to that whole medical issue. Of course you're going to love that child, but if you don't provide that child with what they need, then that child is not going to survive and thrive. If that child, you know, my son with his cleft palate and speech classes and audiology problems and, you know, the orthodontist and the pediatrist and, you know, the list went on and on. And it's the same with a child that, let's say, unfortunately has been abused or sexually abused. What do I need to do? And it also applies to transracial adoption. We cannot be everything to everyone, and nor can we be everything to our child. And that's why if we're making a commitment to that child, we need to make sure that we are educating ourselves and providing our child with the tools and the, you know, tricks that they need in order to survive in a world where discrimination and racism are still very real.
So love is so essential, clearly, and so important, but not enough when we're talking about these particular issues.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So you touched on this a little bit ago, but I want to come back to this particular topic because there is a fair amount of controversy in some adoption circles about this subject. And there are those, and with this subject, I'm talking about what we're talking about today, transracial adoption. There are those who stand firmly against transracial adoption, and then those that say finding a stable, loving home and family for a child who needs it supersedes any of these transracial issues. Share with us, Kathy, a little bit about your thoughts and feelings about this.
You know, there is controversy. I used to actually provide a training, and it was called Transracial Adoption from Controversy to Competency. And I think that's what we need to do is, even though it is controversial, we need to fight the controversy with competency, with the right amount of love, with education, with support, with the role models that are extremely important. If in the trainings that I've done, we often have asked families, who are your role models as children? And most people will identify sometimes parents, teachers, but it's usually people that are close to them. And therefore, if we are adopting children from, you know, as I educated myself about cleft palate, I need to have people that look like my children around me. And I just can't take my child to the Charles Wright Museum, the African American Museum in Detroit, once a year and say, oh, okay, I've done my homework. I've done my duty. I need to have that available to them on a daily basis. They need to know that, you know, my friend Rhonda is a successful person in the business world, and she's a wonderful speaker for transracial adoption as a transracial adoptee. You know, they need to know about, you know, my friend Edward, that was, a police officer, or, you know, my friend Warren, who, you know, is successful in, you know, his business world. These are people that are close to me that I rely on for role models for my child, so that they don't look at the world and say, oh, gee, you know, it's only the white people that are successful, and I'm not white, you know, so how am I going to make it in the world? They need to be able to have these people right there for them, you know, on a regular basis. And that helps us be successful, helps us be competent, helps us give the child the tools and the tasks that they need, and that we know that we can't do this by ourselves, and we need you. We need the people that are like our children to provide them that information that we can't even possibly know. You know, I've experienced discrimination, but never the discrimination that is experienced by Black people every single day of their lives in this country.
So I'm listening to you, and I'm thinking about some of our other listeners who may be tuned in right now, maybe a couple considering growing their family through adoption and maybe evaluating their own circumstances regarding transracial adoption. And they say, well, you know, Kathy, I hear you loud and clear about love and education, and we've got all that part, but we don't have appropriate role models at this time in our life or a good support system in the way that you have mentioned it. Does that mean that we should not move forward with this? Or how do we create this for ourselves if it doesn't already exist? Do you have tips or suggestions for those folks that might be listening?
It is extremely important. And I do remember being in trainings where people say, well, you know, I can't just go into, you know, an all-Black church, or, well, why not? You know, what do you think that people of color feel every day when they walk into, you know, majority white culture? And it's something that we need to expose ourselves to, and we need to make some changes. We need to consider. Husband, unfortunately, I am divorced from, and he's passed away now, but that I was married to, that I adopted my children with, we moved from a small white town into a larger community where it was more diverse, because it wasn't fair to my child to be the only Korean child in the you know, town, or the only Black child in the town. And so we do have to make some changes. We do have to place ourselves in an uncomfortable position sometimes, because if we're asking the child to do that, well, we're not even asking them. We're basically, you know, just making it happen. We have to be willing to do that ourselves. And so I think it's something that we need to start looking at doing before we adopt, or at least as quickly as we can once we, you know, have adopted our children. And I didn't know very many people that were Korean, but when I adopted my first child, who happens to be Korean, you know, I was out there making friends in the Korean community. And the same with my other children. However, I don't think it's just that we need, you know, if I have a Korean child, they need to have Korean friends. They need to have people of all diverse backgrounds. And so we need to be, you know, extending ourselves out in all directions. And our child needs to be exposed to people of all different, you know, ethnicities and orientations and belief systems or lack thereof, because that's about learning about tolerance and diversity, which only makes us better. The closer we become to people that are different, the more we understand how much we actually all can get along, and how much we share, and that we don't become uncomfortable, so that our child doesn't walk into, you know, a group of people that look just like him or her and feel like, oh, I don't belong. That, to me, would be a horrible feeling for a child to not feel comfortable among people that look just like him or her.
Mm-hmm. Very good point. So, you know, I hear you talking about all the importance of diversity and educating ourselves and all of these different issues. Are there any other specific things that families should be doing if they are currently parenting transracially or transculturally outside of these things we've already talked about? What other things would you suggest or would you like to see happening within these families?
Well, I think the importance, again, of having friends, you yourself as the adoptive parent, who are of a diverse makeup. And so that means you extending yourself. Years ago, and I do this in my training now, I took this little training thing on, you know, different questions about how colorful is your world. And I realized I didn't know very many Native American people. And for the last 14 years, I've sat on the board of a Native American Learning Center in the Okemos area. And now if I, you know, did that little column of, you know, the various ethnic groups, I'd have a whole bunch in under Native Americans. But I extended myself out. I put myself as the minority. So you have to look at, you know, where can I make friends? Can I become involved in a group? Do I need to go to a different church or a community center, or, you know, go to a craft class? Where can I meet people that are of the culture of my child and of different cultures and learn about their culture and make those friends? And take my child as well, so that, you know, it becomes secondhand when I'm talking to someone. I can easily walk up to someone and begin a conversation and not, hey, I've got this friend that's, you know, such and such, but just carry on a normal conversation and not have to point out, well, I have a friend that's Korean or, you know, Colombian or whatever. It mm-hmm. should be normal. It should be like the back of your hand. And that will only come about when your life is surrounded by people who do not look and think and, you know, act the same way that you do, but that doesn't mean that their culture is wrong. It's just different than yours.
Yeah, I think these are all such important conversations that not only you and I are having right now, but hopefully families and couples can have as they're beginning to consider adoption. Kathy, we are approaching the end of the podcast today, and I just wanted to give you an opportunity if there were any other things that we didn't touch on that you feel that we should definitely say before we conclude. Now is a great time for that.
I guess I would strongly recommend the education. Can't get, you know, past that. There's many wonderful documentaries. I think you also need to learn history, A People's History of the United States by Howard Zinn, I think is a must read for anyone, as well as Race, The Power of an Illusion, a great documentary about race in this country. So educating yourself, getting out there, making those friends, just being tolerant and open, doing as much as you can. I think that's the success. And talking to adult adoptees who are adopted transracially, or reading their, you know, books or listening to them and going to trainings.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. And many of those resources are available through Adoption Associates, some of them requirements as well. So certainly
awesome.
For anyone listening, interested in more of, you know, that information, we can get some of those details to you as well. Kathy, thank you so much. A big thank you for today. And this is great information.
Thank you for having me. I love doing this.
For those of you that are listening, do remember that Adoption Focus Podcast is live on Tuesdays at 11. If you're interested in connecting with Adoption Associates, we would love to take a call from you and have a conversation at 800-677-2367. You can also connect with Adoption Associates on the web at adoptionassociates.net or through Facebook and our other social media channels. For now, this is Jennifer on Adoption Focus. I hope you all have a great day. Bye, Kathy.
Bye.